Hi, I'm David Greer, and you're watching the Live Big broadcast. Today, we're going to hear a story about Peter that I'm sure you heard before, but you never heard it quite like this. Let's watch.
Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Mark says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. Now Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. And in John 6 and 15, he gives us a little insight about what was happening. It says that the people wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king. Now, that may seem, you know, kind of strange to us. You know, he just fed 5,000. Why would they want to make Jesus king over that particular miracle? But Napoleon famously states, an army marches on its stomach, meaning armed resistance cannot endure unless a soldier or soldiers are well fed. So the people had just witnessed a man who had fed 5,000 men, and there were women and children there too, so there were more than just the 5,000, with a boy's lunch, just you know, some fish and some bread. So here, Jesus has captured the imagination of his nation. And they began to think, you know what, Jesus could become a great military leader like David, and he could throw off the opposition of Rome, and Israel could become a light to the nations, and they could rule the world a little bit like the time of Solomon. But there can be no kingdom of God on earth until after the kingdom of God is established in hearts. Yes, so immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. It's not easy to send people away who think you have what they want. Miles Monroe, my pastor of a lot of years, used to tell me, don't confuse people who love your gift with people who love you. That'll help you. See, Jesus knew the hearts of humanity. Some people will use you as long as you let them, and then spit you out the minute you no longer serve their purposes. Young people, she or he will say they love you as long as they're getting what they want. But you will not see a person's true colors until you stop offering them free benefits. And when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to be alone with God and to pray. This was really the temptation in the wilderness all over again. The Bible says after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil left him for a more opportune time, which meant that the devil didn't just leave him. He just waited till Jesus had, he felt Jesus might have a weak moment. You see, remember in the wilderness, the devil said, well, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. And what Satan was offering him was another way to be king. Okay, you want to rule, you're talking about your kingdom and all that stuff. Okay, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to deal with pain and suffering and all that. Just bow down and worship me, do it my way. And you won't have to face all that. But Proverbs 14 and 12 said, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, if the Holy Spirit quoted this to me once as a younger man, he quoted it to me 1,000 times. Because sometimes the wrong thing just makes sense. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Human reasoning left to itself will get you playing in the wrong grass, and it will get you bitten every single time. Yes, sir. When sin is most attractive, you need to pull aside and pray the most. So here we have the crowd saying, Jesus, listen, use your gifts, use your skill, use your anointing to become a natural king and give us a natural kingdom. And Jesus had to contend with this because that, you know, he's human. Lord, you know what? What did he say at Gethsemane? You know what, Lord, if there's any other way, do I have to drink this cup? Do I have to hang naked with people laughing at me, mocking me? Do I have to let them put these long, thick, heavy, rusty nails into my wrists and into my ankles? Do I need to take the beating? Come on, I'm God. I created this planet. Everything on the earth was made through me. And I'm gonna let another man beat me, smack me, mock me. They're gonna put a bunch of thorns in my head. God, there gotta be another way. So when evening came, he's praying, and the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, and Jesus was dealing with his own crisis. You say, wait, I thought Jesus was praying. He is. But the Bible teaches he was tempted on all points as we are, yet without sin. If he wasn't tempted, it couldn't be temptation. So in his humanity, any good human doesn't want to go to a cross. I mean, even people into pain are not into that type of pain. Then he sees them straining at rowing. It's one thing to be working hard. It's another thing to be straining. All a strained muscle is a muscle that has been stretched so far, it tears. And the only antidote and the only way you can stop a muscle from tearing when you start getting close is to rest. But in the middle of a storm of this magnitude, a storm like this, there was no cruise control. There was no automatic pilot here. And in the middle of a storm like this, if you rest, you die. So what do you do when rowing forward, moving forward is damaging you? It's stretching you to the place of breaking, to the place that, you know what, when this thing is over, if I survive, I'm going to be damaged. What do you do when moving forward is harming you, but you also know quitting will cause you to sink and die? What do you do in such a situation? So these men are straining, meaning they're being stretched on the inside beyond a breaking point. But then we also see what was going on the outside, for the wind was what? Against them. Anybody ever feel like you can't catch a break? You can't even catch a breath. You can't let your guard down for a minute to at least relax and get a little perspective. And you're thinking in the middle of it, God, if you're out there, would you cut me some slack, God? Give a brother a break, God. I just need a moment, God. I'm willing to roll, I'm hurting myself, God. Matthew 14 and 25 adds some details that are not in Mark's narrative, so we're going to switch there real quick. Now in the fourth watch of the night. Now a trip across this lake usually only took about 2 hours or so, and you get to the other side. But we just read it was the fourth watch. You see, the ancients did not communicate time the same way we do. They divided the night into what they called watches, not hours. And since they were being occupied by the Romans, I guess that's why they started using this type of language, they recognized that each watch lasted 3 hours. And basically, you know, they would put a sentinel out, and they started telling time by, you know, when the sentinel or the lookout or the Roman lookout changed or rotated. So a sentinel would be on duty for about, you know, 3 hours, but they didn't want to overburden, you know, they wanted to make sure that you know, God didn't fall asleep. So, you know, they signed him 3 hours, and then after the end of 3 hours, there'd be a rotation, and the new guy would come in. So the first watch was around 6 p.m., to 9 p.m. The second, by the way, they didn't have technical watches like we do. They use the sun, so it's approximate. Second, 9 p.m., the second watch, to 12 p.m. The third, 12 to 3 a.m. And the fourth was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, that makes sense in a minute. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, the Bible says that they left right before the first watch of the evening, but now it was the fourth watch. It was supposed to be a 2-hour journey. How many of y'all old enough to remember Gilligan's Island? What was it, like a 3-hour tour, and they ended up stuck there forever? But 9 to 12 hours later, they were still rowing. How in their mind could they? Jesus made them get in the boat. Jesus told them to go to the other side. So how could Jesus love them, send them into this crisis, and then delay so long at the same time? Sometimes the focus is not what God sends us into, but what he's trying to get out of you. If you look at the monarch, and if you want to reign and rule, you got to sometimes go through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of challenge, and you got to go sometimes into these hard spots, because God's trying to develop something in you. Now in the fourth, not the first, the second, or the fourth watch, muscles are tearing. Nerves are frayed. Everybody's upset. You're taking on water. It looks like you're going to drown in the middle of what you thought was the will of God. But life is a lot like this year's Super Bowl. Games are not won or lost until the fourth quarter. Now in the fourth watch, some of you are in the fourth watch. You are in the fourth quarter. Hang on to the fourth quarter. I know, you know, second, third, fourth. The fourth quarter is when you win. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Sure, it was later than they wanted. But last I checked, Isaiah 55, and I think it's verse 8 or so, teaches us, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So if you could figure everything out, you'd be God. So God in his wisdom, he knows what he's doing. But since we're not God, we don't always understand. Real faith is continuing to trust God even when life does not make sense. God, if you love me, you'd been here by now. How did it get so late in the game, so late in the season, Lord, before you turn it around? You told me, Lord, to get in this boat. You told me to be with these guys in this boat. And here I am sinking, almost going under. What type of God are you? All of them have these types of questions.
You're watching the Live Big broadcast. Stay right there. We will be right back with the last half of this teaching.
It's with the help of people like yourself that Derek Greer Ministries can bring God's life-changing and impactful gospel to over 100,000 people around the world each week. As we begin this new year, we have a fresh opportunity to join together and help hurting people across the world. Please consider partnering with Derek Greer Ministries to help spread God's message even further via radio, television, and the internet. Getting started is easy. Go to DerekGreer.com. That's DerekGreer.com and select the green donate button at the top right of the screen. Thank you and God bless you for being one of my God-called partners.
But then the Bible said Jesus is the Word of God incarnate, God become flesh. Went to them, walking on the sea. As overwhelming as their situation was, the Word of God was still above everything trying to bring them down. Amen. You might be in the middle of it, in the thick of it, but remember, God's Word is the only thing that's going to help you rise above it. The Word of God was walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You know, a couple moments ago, they thought the situation just couldn't get worse. Ever been in a situation, it could not get worse than this. But then it did. They said, we not only have a storm, it's a ghost. Yeah, the ancients, you know, thought the world was flat. And they grow up hearing these stories about these great, you know, beasts of the sea and Neptune and those guys and they rose out of the sea and all this different stuff. They heard these stories from childhood. And all their fears were coming to pass. First, they were in a devil of a storm. Now, they think they're facing the devil himself. And they cried out in fear. Many of us in this room, or I don't think I'd be teaching this because I wanted to teach some other things. You have the answer staring right in your face. But your emotional state is causing you not to see it. You're so emotionally drained. You are so exhausted, so tired. You're confusing friend with foe, God with the devil, and the devil with God. But Jesus, in his mercy, didn't pass them by. He spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. We will all have moments in our lives that God's plan looks like the devil, looks like the devil. The devil must have got me in that boat. The devil must have got me around these 12 men. It must have been the devil that did this because God could not have created a set of circumstances that would stretch me this much, that would push me beyond my breaking point like this. God would not do that. Said, it is I, do not. The Word of God showed up. Do not be afraid. When you were at your lowest, you got to keep looking to the highest. Jesus was telling them, stop all that worrying, that hand wringing, all that upset. You may be surprised by this journey, but I am not. Trust me. And Peter answered, he said, Lord, if it is you, when you're in the middle of a storm, that's really the only thing you need to know. Lord, is it you? You see, in God's economy, in God's scheme, in God's plan, now the devil means the storm. The devil's trying to kill him. The devil's trying to wipe them out. But the devil has a plan, but God has purposes. And even in the midst of the devil's plan, he can work his purpose. But God's purposes in the storm are to eliminate all of our false dependencies. You see, they were trusting the boat. Peter was trusting the rowing strength of John. John was trusting the rowing strength of James. All of them were trusting the weather. Others of them were trusting the water. But Jesus said, I want you just to trust my word. And there are things in your life that you have trusted. And they have broken your little heart. But God is, in his wisdom, is just trying to wean you from dependencies that will hurt you and kill you and bring you down. The only thing above the storm was God's word. And when I'm in the middle of it, that's what I reach for. That's what I cling to. That's what I got to hold on to. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me. I need a commander in an hour like this. I don't need no suggestion. I don't need no bright ideas. I need the Lord of hosts. I need the commander of the seas, the waves, and the wind. I need the Lord Jehovah in my life. I need God to show up in an hour like this. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. This was a bold ask. But what I want you to understand, the thunder of the storm did not silence or conquer the roar in Peter's heart. And don't let your last storm steal your roar, steal your desire, steal your thirst for what's next in your life. No guts, no glory. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor him. Pray a prayer big enough only God can answer. Stop praying for things you can fix on your own, but pray a big prayer.
Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we should not focus on what God sends us into as much as what he is trying to get out of us. Peter was already doing the impossible, so why did he doubt? His problem was not the circumstance, instead, it was his focus. Real faith is continuing to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. So don't pretend there's not a problem, just focus on the answer. Remember, coming to Jesus doesn't prevent you from going through a storm, but I promise that if you call him, he will catch you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Our prayer is that you were blessed and encouraged by today's message. We would love for you to be a part of our online family. Please subscribe, like, or follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter so you won't miss the latest updates and teachings from Derek Greer Ministries. Also, log on to derekgreer.com to receive life-changing teachings that can help remove barriers that are keeping you from walking in God's best. Our announcer is coming with more information.
Connect with Derek Greer Ministries on social media to access Derek Greer's latest teachings and content. Follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, be sure to subscribe to Derek Greer's YouTube channel at Dr. Derek Greer VA and access his latest teachings and other content meant to power you through the week. While you're there, be sure to hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of Derek Greer's latest power-packed content. Subscribe today and propel your spiritual life forward.
Are you a Christian leader, entrepreneur, or lifelong learner seeking to unlock your leadership potential? Dr. Derek Greer's Renaissance Leadership Network provides you with biblical principles and practical life lessons from top leaders, influencers, and experts across the world. It's time to remove limitations and start seeing world-class, measurable results in your ministry, business, or otherwise. Go to rlnleadership.com and register for our next free monthly leadership session. That's rlnleadership.com. Our announcer is coming with more information. And until next time, think big, do big, live big.
Christian leaders, it's time to unlock your potential and go to the next level. Join Derek Greer for the next monthly Renaissance Leadership Network session. RLN provides you with biblical principles and practical life lessons from top leaders, influencers, and experts from around the world. Best of all, joining our monthly online sessions is free. Registering is easy. Go to rlnleadership.com. That's rlnleadership.com and register for our next leadership session.
Derek Greer Ministries is certified by the ECFA. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Live Big with Derek Greer.